This episode of the Good Health Podcast is brought to you by W Wellness, my go-to online store for practitioner-quality supplements. W Wellness is all about quality you can trust. Every product is carefully curated, third-party tested, and made in therapeutic doses. So you know you're getting exactly what your body needs without the fillers or the fluff. To help you get started, I've put together a free nutritionist-recommended supplements guide with my top picks for different health goals, all available from W Wellness. And of course, you can use my code Nicole20. You can download the guide right now for free via the link in the show notes and start building your supplement toolkit with confidence. Now let's jump straight into this week's episode.
Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more.
Jessica Shand is a registered naturopathic nutritionist, women's health specialist, author of the Hormone Balance Handbook, and W Wellness Ambassador. She helps women optimize hormonal health through food, lifestyle, and sustainable rituals, both in her private clinic and as resident nutritionist at Soho House. Jess empowers her online community, reclaim balance, vitality, and confidence via her medicine food recipes, realistic daily tips, hacks, and rituals, bridging the gap between science and practical ways to integrate it into everyday life. Having navigated her own hormonal imbalances, including PCOS, thyroid, fertility, and mental health challenges, she now guides women to feel their best, restore their cycles, and thrive throughout every stage of their hormonal journey and life. So as this is a very special episode of the Good Health Podcast, it is the 100th episode. We are running a giveaway alongside of it. If you want to win one of three prizes, here's everything you need to know. The first prize is to win a health check with me. This is a 45-minute consultation where we can run through your health. We can look at your supplementation. We can look at your nutrition and your lifestyle, and we will build you a program. The second prize is a gift card from W Wellness so that you can get any supplements that we've either mentioned in this episode or indeed anything else on the W Wellness website. And the third prize is a copy of Jess Shand's book, who is joining me on today's episode, and a copy of my book as well, so that you'll have some really great reading. If you want to win one of those three prizes, here's how you need to enter. To enter, follow at good_health on Instagram. You also need to be following at @JessicaShand_ and at @W_wellness_UK. So you need to be following all three of us. Then you need to go and rate the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, screenshot your rating and share it to your Instagram story. And don't forget to tag us at good_health. As a bonus entry, if you tag two friends in the comments below who would love this episode of the podcast, you'll get an extra entry and an extra chance to win one of these great prizes. The giveaway closes on November 10th at 11:59, and the winners will be announced on November 11th via Instagram stories or it's straight into your DMs. So if you want to win one of these three great prizes, a consultation with me, a gift card to W Wellness, or a copy of Jess's and my book, go on over to Instagram now and enter the giveaway. Okay, so Jess, welcome and thank you for being here for the 100th episode of the Good Health Podcast. It feels really special to celebrate this milestone with you and also to make hormones the really big theme of today. So it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be on your 100th episode.
But let's start with a big topic that impacts, I think, a lot of people when we're talking about hormone health, and that is the link to cortisol and to stress. Because when we think about hormone imbalance, you know, the adrenals and cortisol are often quite at the center of that story, or they certainly are in my clinic. When I see people with hormone imbalance, cortisol usually plays some sort of a role. And cortisol is that main stress hormone. It's designed to sort of, you know, keep us alive in moments of danger. But when that stress becomes really chronic, the system that regulates cortisol, so that HPA axis, it gets kind of thrown off balance. And over time, we can prioritize that cortisol production over other hormones. And I think we focus a lot maybe on the reproductive hormones, but we don't necessarily always look at that link between the reproductive hormones, our stress hormones, the hunger hormones, all the different thyroid hormones, you know, it's all part of one system, isn't it? And it all has that knock-on effect. So from your perspective, what are those kind of everyday signs that you see in clients that tell you that their hormones are being impacted, or that maybe their hormones are specifically being impacted by that stress and cortisol?
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic and something I literally see in clinic, the same as you, probably every single day. People just get so used to feeling a certain way and running in that kind of state that they don't always connect their symptoms, or that their symptoms are manifesting and showing up to being related to cortisol. So the common signs I see in my clients are dysregulated sleep. So either not being able, or a combination of not being able to actually fall asleep, mind chatter taking over, and it taking a really, really long time for their nervous system and their brain to kind of like get into that relaxation state, waking up multiple times throughout the night, waking up anxious, waking up wired, or the flip side, feeling so lethargic and like with no get up and go. And obviously this is how cortisol plays out in the beginning. When you've got high cortisol, you're in this upregulated fight or flight mode and you're very stressed and you're kind of go, 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 go. When that is happening for a really long time, your adrenals just get burnt out. And we've heard this term so many times before, but literally our adrenals are struggling to actually pump out hormones and actually produce hormones. And that's when you will get that kind of symptom of waking up in the morning and feeling like you can't kind of like muster up the energy to get on with your day. And that's when I see clients also heavily relying on caffeine and things like sugar throughout the day to get that quick fix. And then also at the end of the day, I hear so often clients saying to me, like, I just feel like I need a glass of wine to literally wind down. That's the only thing that is actually helping them wind down. And then obviously it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because then it just kind of like, it affects your sleep hormones, melatonin production, obviously estrogen and progesterone and the cycle. And then that's the other thing I see as well, the regular cycles or really amplified PMS symptoms or perimenopausal symptoms as well. So there are so many ways that cortisol manifests in the body. And it's about kind of like pinpointing how someone is living their life and what can we do? How can we go in and actually make some really powerful, sustainable changes that is going to make a really big difference in the long term? The other thing, sorry, that I was just going to say is that also, and stubborn weight gain as well. I actually think that's a really big one that I see all the time in my clinic, that women holding on to fat around their middle. For me, I'm like, I immediately, it might be a cortisol, you know, a cortisol imbalance situation.
That sort of stubborn weight gain, particularly stubborn weight gain around the middle, I think is such a picture that people put down to perimenopause. And, you know, we've been told so many times that, you know, it's part of that cycle, women's cycle. It's that time of life. And actually, I think people sometimes miss the point that it might not actually be that. It could be cortisol. And if you sort the cortisol out, actually, you know, you may not be perimenopausal. It could be cortisol, not the sex hormones.
I completely agree. I also think because perimenopause and menopause is such a big topic, rightly so, it's, you know, it's something that we all need to know more about. And it's great that it's being talked about so much. But I think sometimes it's quite easy, especially with social media influencers and things like that, it's quite easy to be like, oh, it must be this. And actually, you're forgetting that we have all of these other hormones and they all play a part. Cortisol is so powerful. And I think the other thing, I've already touched on this, but everyone talks again about high cortisol, but low cortisol is also equally can be a really big problem for people. So it's about trying to understand, you know, where is it coming from? What is the driver? And piecing everything together.
Yeah, I probably actually see low cortisol in clinic when we do the adrenal testing, probably more than I see the high cortisol, because obviously I work with chronic illness. So by the time I think people get to me with a chronic illness, I think they've been through the high cortisol phase. And when we look back at the history, we can usually pinpoint a point where actually they maybe felt quite good and pretty productive and, you know, things like that. And then they started to feel a bit rubbish and then they've kind of hit that point where it has crashed out. So I actually see low cortisol in clinic probably more than I see the high cortisol, although they've been there, they've had the high cortisol stage and then it's kind of dropped off. And something that I notice a lot, and we've touched on this slightly, is that I think women are particularly, and this is not, you know, men, I'm sure there are plenty of men that do this as well, but I do really see it in women, is that we normalize running on stress. We push through the exhaustion. Women naturally have this kind of caregiver role. There's people that we put before ourselves all the time. How do you help clients to start to recognize when stress is no longer just being busy or, you know, normal, and it's actually starting to become a problem and starting to disrupt, have that knock-on effect on the other sort of hormones?
It's so true. And I think there is such a big difference between being busy and being burnt out. And I think it is so normalized. We are doing all of the things, and actually we're bloody well good at doing all of the things. Like, actually, it's quite hard to pull yourself out of that. And I've been there before about burnout. And it's because I almost, when I reflect back, I think it's because I was almost addicted to being busy. And that feeling is like that dopamine hit and that dysregulation of like neurotransmitters, and then that having an impact on the whole hormonal system, including hunger hormones. And then that can play a role in digestive health and all of the other things. I think it's like understanding, helping a client understand that there is a difference between being busy and actually being burnt out, and trying to look at their whole lifestyle and like, which areas can we improve? And it's easier said than done. Like, there'll be people listening that like, yeah, but you know, I've got 5 kids to look after and I'm working and I've got that. And it's, I hear you completely if you're someone who can relate to that. But if you're feeling less than and you are struggling on a daily basis, something has to give. I try to help clients basically gain some clarity on like which areas of their life we can together improve and really focus in on. It's never a quick fix anyway. It's always like a longer term, like 3, 6, 12 months. We're thinking long term here. But you can actually get really quick results when you figure out which of the areas that actually need you, which of the areas that are kind of like crying out for that attention, and you actually are very consistent with it and you start working with your body. Because I think we do just get quite addicted to being busy. You don't always recognize it as a dopamine hit or fix. In my case anyway, every time I had 5 minutes, I'd go, okay, maybe I can create a post, or maybe I can reply to an email, or get back to a client or something. And I think that it's about getting very clear on which areas of your life you need to really give yourself some TLC.
Yeah. And I think it is a bit of a personality thing as well, isn't it? I think if you are the sort of person who likes to be busy and likes to be helping other people, and you know, it's, that is sometimes is in your personality. So it can be even harder then to almost go against your natural grain.
Yeah.
It is important, because if you haven't got your health, then you can't be busy and you can't help anybody else and you can't look after your kids and you can't work, you know, so it's going to have that knock-on effect.
It gets to that point of then literally you are at burnout. And when you're at burnout, real burnout, you cannot function properly. And so I think it's about helping clients, helping people see that it's a real thing. Also, there's so many other things like feeling emotionally. I think a lot of people also have like trauma in their bodies, or they haven't dealt with something and they're also doing all of the things as well. And so like, as much as, you know, I'm a nutritionist, I'm thinking about food and lifestyle, and obviously that is so important. I think that there are so many other angles to come in at, and to make sure you're really thinking about everything, because you can't eat your way out of emotional trauma held in your body. Like, you have to think about the whole picture.
Yeah. Once clients have sort of recognized those signs and you've talked to them about where they're at, I guess the obvious next question then is going to be, what can they do about it? So let's sort of start with supplementation. What are some of your favorite supplements for sort of supporting the adrenals, balancing cortisol when stress is one of the things that is driving those hormone issues?
I think when it is a cortisol dysregulation or imbalance, and we're thinking about adrenals, I think you've got to think about what is lacking or what's being depleted or pulled upon. So we're thinking about vitamin C is being highly depleted at times of stress. So vitamin C is a really good one. Actually, there's a really lovely vitamin C called Body Bio, the liposomal one. And that's probably my favorite one. And you can get it on the W Wellness website. But also thinking about adaptogens. So you have to be quite careful with adaptogens, especially if you have any kind of like immune, autoimmune condition, and you have to make sure you're working with a nutritionist to ensure that it's right for you. But something like rhodiola can be really good, because it's good for like stress resilience, but it's also actually quite good for energy. Well, I see a lot of my clients saying, I have no energy. I'm so stressed. I'm doing all these things, but I feel like I've got nothing in the tank. I've got nothing to give and I need to be energized. So it's this world capturing two situation. So I think rhodiola can be a really good one. Functional mushrooms are really good. Something like cordyceps or reishi is quite good, or combination. There's a nice brand called Hifas, and they do, I think it's called Microbi. And there's a good combination of different functional mushrooms in there. And it's in capsule form as well. So it's quite easy to kind of like have it stacked.
I like Microbi. It's a good one. And I've actually just ordered some of the Body Bio vitamin C for myself. Got on its way.
I think it's such a good one. And then obviously blood work done to actually figure out like where you might be deficient or insufficient. You might want to look at iron, So like if you're, you know, low on iron, but you don't want to supplement on iron without actually knowing what your bloods are saying, and then vitamin C, yeah. Actually, that's a really good combination. So there's a nice, and it's called Kiki Health, do a nice iron supplement that doesn't have iodine in it. Because I have a lot of clients who have thyroid dysregulation. So that Kiki Health one is a really good one. It doesn't have iodine in it. And then you can then take their body bio vitamin C as well, because the vitamin C really helps with the absorption of the iron. So that's a really good one. But I think it's always best to get your blood checked first. But just generally speaking, like B vitamins, you need B vitamins, especially B5 and B6. It's really important for adrenal support, because again, these are the areas that we're going to police on. So yeah, vitamin C, B vitamins, magnesium is always like a bit of a no-brainer one in terms of like regulating the nervous system and energy metabolism. I would call it like a reproductive magic mineral all rounder, because I feel like we could all do with a little bit of magnesium, especially if your symptoms are related to sleep or restless legs or headaches. You can overcomplicate it when it comes to supplements. I think actually going back to basics, getting some blood work done, going back to basics, and just being very consistent with taking it. Because I see so many, when I'm going through the health forms with the new client, some people are taking so many supplements, and then they say to me, oh, I do sometimes take them, but not all the time. You have to be consistent with it to get the results, and also making sure you're taking quality supplements, don't have all the fillers and the unhelpful ingredients in there. So yeah, that's where W Wellness is so good, because everything is so regulated and everything's picked by a nutritionist as well. So yeah, it's a really good place to start.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I get people coming through with bags of supplements, and more often than not, you sort of say, why are you taking this one? They're like, I don't know. You know, somebody sort of said it might be good, and I just thought I'd buy one and try it. But they're taking it inconsistently. So actually, they're not really getting the benefit from it. And I think you're right. I think taking specific stuff and less is more, maybe sort of taking certain ones specifically for what you know are needed. And that's where getting like a supplement review with a practitioner, working with a practitioner, can really help. Today's episode is all about hormones. And if you are ready to support your hormone health, W Wellness have kindly sponsored this episode. They have an incredible range of supplements curated by experts, from magnesium and adaptogens for stress to omega-3s, probiotics, collagens, all essentials that we use in clinic every day. Whether it's one of these supplements or one of the supplements that myself or Jess have mentioned in this episode, you can get them all at w-wellness.co.uk and use my code Nicole20 for 20% off your order. As a W Wellness ambassador, one of the things that I love about them is how they curate a really carefully selected range of supplements from brands who are doing everything the right way to ensure that you get what you need from your supplements. And of course, don't forget, if you want some help in choosing supplements, you can always book a supplement review. All the links are in the show notes below this episode. Let's jump straight back into the conversation with Jess. Let's look a little more at one of those symptoms in particular, which is energy, which you've just sort of mentioned. Because I think energy is one of the first things to go out when hormones are out of balance, whichever hormones we're talking about. I think energy has an impact. And we know that the mitochondria, so for those people who don't know, the little powerhouses in every cell of our body that make the ATP, they rely on hormones, so like thyroid hormones and cortisol, to signal properly. So when the body is under that stress, or when thyroid hormones are low, or our sex hormones are imbalanced, mitochondria can slow down, that energy output is going to drop. And your body almost kind of shifts into a conservation mode, because it can't do everything. I think that's what I always say to clients is, you know, your body will reach a point where it cannot do every single thing. So it's going to sort of start protecting itself. And that's where I think we start to get that energy problem. And people, like you've said, people often feel like constantly fatigued, no matter how much sleep they get, they don't feel refreshed in the morning. When you're working with clients who really have reached that kind of exhaustion and they are struggling to maybe keep their energy up, what do you find are key lifestyle patterns that are maybe draining their energy or disrupting that hormone balance?
I often see women undernourishing and over-exercising. That's like classic. I see it all of the time. You've like burnt through your overdraft and there's literally nothing to give. And then you're expecting your body to be able to do a really good workout and for you to feel energized. Like, it's just never going to happen. And like I said before, the sleep situation, waking up in the morning and feeling so tired, even though you've gone to bed early, like, and the sleep not making any difference. Blood sugar swings throughout the day and blood sugar crashes, feeling like you need sugar. You know, that real addictive kind of like, it's not like, oh yeah, I really fancy something. It's like, I need it. I feel like the sugar in the kitchen is calling my name kind of thing. And that kind of pairs with the undernourishing and overexercising, because your body needs energy. And so it's going to want that quick fix also generally under eating, I think, as well. Like women who are under eating, I know I've already said undernourishing, but literally just not eating enough at meal times, having too many coffees in the day or having coffee on an empty stomach in the morning. I think that's probably what I see most of.
And thinking about, you know, you've touched on sort of the importance of undernourishing and making sure that you're getting enough food. So thinking about nutrition first, how do you help clients to start rebuilding their energy in a way that supports their hormones long term?
I think even before I look at nutrition, before I even go down the food route, I really try to get my clients to see for themselves where the areas of their lifestyle that need that support. Because I think if they don't understand it and they don't see it for themselves, it's really hard. I don't think that people want to even understand that they can feel even good because they're just so used to just like feeling low energy, low vibe. So before we even go down the nutrition route, that would be my first step. I do this thing called a life audit. In terms of nutrition and food, the number one would be blood sugar stability. Like really, it's so basic, but I mean, we all hear about it all the time, but it's so important to really support your blood sugar levels so that you're actually topping yourself up throughout the day and you're giving your body, you're literally like nourishing the cells in your body. You're giving your body energy. You cannot expect your mitochondrial cells to do their job properly and keep you energized and cognitively. Also, we're thinking about brain health at work. We really need to be nourishing consistently. And I think it's the consistency piece of the puzzle. Being consistent, being very predictable so your body knows when to expect a meal and you're not going through long periods of time without eating. You're not skipping breakfast and feeding all your kids but not feeding yourself. That's another one. And so it's about almost like parenting yourself. Blood sugar balance, making sure you're having a complete protein at every single meal, breakfast, lunch and dinner. If you're having a snack, also make sure that there's a protein and fiber in there. It's not just about the protein. You also need the fiber as well. It's going to be so, if in terms of like gut health, obviously we know this already, gut health, gut microbiome, digestive health, keeping you regular. That again, it can be such an energy drainer if you're constipated or you have digestive issues, it's long term. And again, you can get really used to that. I have clients all the time that say to me, oh, I only go once a week or I only go twice a week. That's just normal for me. And it's like, that's not normal. And we can fix it. Everything, all of our hormones, they're all connected to each other. So things like hunger hormones, digestive health, neurotransmitters, serotonin, I think it's something, isn't it something like 90%, 80, 90% of our serotonin is produced in the gut.
Yeah.
How are you going to be able to expect to be feeling happy and calm and, you know, mentally? I already said hydration, but hydration is also like low hanging fruit. A lot of people don't do it. Like keep a big refillable bottle on your desk with you, take it around the house, put it in the car. And then you could also go the extra mile. You could put some quality sea salt in there for electrolytes. Or you could buy a really nice electrolyte mix to do a really nice one, cellular hydration. I love that one. And so, yeah, it's actually not that hard. Actually, the hardest part of it is doing it and actually being consistent with it.
It almost is the basics. It's the foundational stuff, if you like. And it's also the stuff that I think so many people are not doing. And that's not to say that they're easy for everybody to implement, but they are sort of some of the things that we just should be doing day to day.
Sometimes I think that people almost want something more. Like they want to be like, oh, I just need a magic fit, or I need to buy something or do invest in something that is going to be the big change. And it's like, actually, yes, those things can be really helpful. And obviously supplements would be so helpful and can often be the missing piece of the puzzle. But before you even go down that route, it's like, what are you doing every day? Literally, what are your habits? How are you setting yourself up in the morning? If you want to feel better, you have to do the work. You have to take responsibility. And they can feel very overwhelming for people, I think. And I think as well, that we are in a time where we're so lucky that there's so much information, so much free information by experts. Every time you go on Instagram or TikTok or wherever, that you are being bombarded by this, do this, have that. Like, and it can be so overwhelming sometimes that clients literally say to me, like, I feel like I have learned so much, but also know nothing because I don't know how to like actually implement it into my life because I just feel like, should I be eating carbs? Should I not be eating carbs? Do I need electrolytes? Do I need this, that, and the other? And I think that that's where working with a practitioner is like a game changer because you get that tailored one-to-one support. You're working on that real kind of like personal level with someone. You're looking, as we both do, we look at someone's whole life. We're not just looking at what they eat. I know we've both experienced clients coming to us with these life-changing stories, and it is absolutely amazing. But you're so right. It's the basics, and the basics are often missed or not regarded as being as important as they should be.
Yeah. I always say to people, you can't out supplement a bad diet or a bad lifestyle. And that's not to say that supplements don't help. It's just that you've got to get all three in place. You've got to get the diet in place. You've got to get the lifestyle in place. And you've got to get the right supplements in there that are ones that you actually need. We sort of touched on electrolytes there for energy. But what are your other sort of go-to supplements for energy if somebody is really sort of struggling with that?
I think a good all-rounder, because it's like, I think it's quite difficult to say because you don't know what else is going on in someone's life. You don't know if they have an autoimmune condition or they're going through fertility challenges or whatever. So a good all-rounder, World Nutrition do a really nice energy supplement, and it has B vitamins, magnesium, zinc. It's a really nice one. I've already mentioned this, but again, iron is a classic. But again, you need to get your bloods tested for that. Vitamin Z, CoQ10 is a really good one. There's a nice brand called, I think it's Young and Earth.
Yeah,
that's a really nice complex. Your vitamin D levels, I see so many times when I'm looking at people's vitamin D levels so low and have been for a really long time, and then you think, I can't believe that the last year your vitamin D has been less than adequate. Omega-3, I think, as well. I see omega-3 as like a staple. I've taken omega-3 for years, and I probably will forever take omega-3. I think it's just one of those staples. I see the same with vitamin D. You just need to make sure you get your dosages right. And yeah, I always love adaptogenic herbs and stuff. I love ashwagandha, love it. But again, if you've got an autoimmune condition, you just have to be really careful so it doesn't overstimulate your immune system. But yeah, ashwagandha can be very helpful. And also you can cycle it and do it in short phases. Just make sure you're like tailoring it and not taking supplements, especially adaptogens, for a really long time. Keep logging like your symptoms and your how. If something changes, I think it's important for you to document it, write it down, look at where, if you do have cycles, look at where you are in your cycle, look at anything else that might be playing a part so that you can connect with your body and your symptoms and you can make the changes. You kind of listen to what is coming up in your own body.
The other one I'd add in there is the Youth and Earth mitochondria. I think it's called mitochondria something. We'll link it below in the show notes. It's a good one. And it's got that ubiquinolone, which is the really good form of the CoQ10. You've mentioned that, you've mentioned autoimmune a few times. And obviously I work with people with autoimmune diseases. So that's something that's coming through my clinic all the time. Immune health is also really tight. We've looked at sort of the stress impact, we've looked at the energy, but the immune health is also really tied to hormones. Estrogen, for example, has a really powerful effect on your immunity, and in some cases helps stimulating that immune response. In other cases, it can be calming it down. Cortisol can actually also be anti-inflammatory. I think we always see cortisol as a bad thing because people have got so used to sort of hearing like, cortisol is, your cortisol is out of balance, it's an adrenal problem, and see it as a bad thing. Actually, we need cortisol. We need some of it.
It gives us that get up and go and that motivation to kind of like crack on in the morning. Yeah, we do need it. I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we do need these things. And many women notice that their immune health symptoms will flare up maybe around a particular time of their cycle. How do you kind of explain to patients, to clients, that sort of connection between hormones and immune changes as we go through the cycle? And I'm particularly sort of talking about women here as they go through the month and through their cycle.
Well, I think thinking about the whole cycle, you have to understand, I guess, that your hormones naturally fluctuate for that month. They're supposed to, it's normal. There are certain times of the month where when we're thinking about our QSET hormones, estrogen and progesterone, they are going to impact the immune system if they're out of balance, which is why I think going back to the basics of hormone balancing and what that actually means and how that actually looks in terms of how we treat our bodies every day, going back to blood sugar balance, going back to sleep and nervous system support, this is actually going to help us have a more balanced, kind of even keel throughout the month in terms of the severity of the symptoms that might be associated with the rise and the drop of the sex hormones. So estrogen can be quite modulating on the immune system, but also it can be quite, as you say, reactive, and progesterone can be an immune suppressive. So it's about kind of like, I guess, adapting your eating habits and how you are treating your body, and think of it maybe instead of like four phases, you're thinking of it in two key phases. So like the luteal phase and the follicular phase, those two main phases, and thinking about how you can support progesterone in that luteal phase in the lead up to your period. Thinking about nature's carbs, as we like to call them, real carbs, carbohydrates, complex carbohydrates, slow release energy, warming vegetables, warming foods, anti-inflammatories, things like ginger, really easy one, garlic and getting these foods in there, being consistent with our meal times, warming drinks and things like that, and eating enough. Again, I'm like repeating myself, but it is so important that we are putting enough in there so that our hormones aren't like, what's happening? Like, you know, and then also when you think about the follicular phase as well, keeping estrogen in balance. So things like tofu and edamame beans, that kind of thing can be really helpful for estrogen balance. And also thinking about stimulants as well is another thing, especially with autoimmune. You're the expert in this area, so you will know more than me. But anything that is going to over-stimulate or over-upregulate the system is not going to be helpful. And I think that sometimes even thinking of it in the basics of like these two key phases. In my book, actually, The Hormone Balance Handbook, I have a cycle syncing guide, but it's like my take on a cycle syncing guide. So I think cycle syncing can seem a bit like a bit faffy and a bit like, haven't got time for that. But actually there's so many ways, even like the energetics of foods and things that you could just easily integrate into your life that can make such a big difference. Also things like seed cycling can be really helpful as well.
And, you know, hormone health, it's not just, you know, as we sort of said, there's lots of different hormones. It's not just about the estrogen and progesterone. And sometimes people have got thyroid going on or they've got the adrenals going on, things like that. And they all influence that sort of immune resilience picture. Because I think there's so much with hormones. I mean, I remember when I was studying back, and we would do hormones. And I always remember saying, I definitely won't work with hormones. It's just, it's so complicated. There's so much going on. You know, it's like everything is so delicate. I was like, definitely won't work with hormones. And now I work really, really heavily with thyroid and I absolutely love it. So it's funny how we change as we learn more. But when you start learning, I remember sort of when we start learning about that hormone picture. So how do you help clients kind of feel, I guess, less confused and less overwhelmed by how much there is to sort of understand around that sort of hormone health?
And literally the reason I wrote my book is that reason, because I think it can feel so overcomplicated, so overwhelming. The example in my book that I gave is that our hormonal system is like a symphony orchestra. And when everyone in the band is playing their instrument perfectly and in tune, you hear beautiful music and it's a joy to listen to. But when someone is out of tune, it creates this cascade of like, it's not nice to listen to. When something is out, it's going to have this knock-on effect. But sometimes I think even saying that can feel a bit like a bit kind of scared that, you know, what if I do this one thing and then it creates this whole thing in my body. But I think the point of it, the point of giving that as an example is that they are working together, going back to the daily habits, the things that we do every single day is going to have a positive knock-on effect on your whole hormonal system.
Yeah, I love that example of the symphony orchestra. I think that's a really good way of describing it. One area that we haven't touched on yet that really kind of, I guess, has to come up in a hormone conversation is the environmental toxins, because it's something that we face so much more these days, particularly those, you know, we're talking about those sort of endocrine disruptors and things found in plastics, pesticides, skincare, cleaning products. You know, it's just everywhere. It's around us so much these days. And they, you know, they can kind of mimic those natural hormones. They can block receptor sites, interfere with the liver's detoxification abilities. You know, they've got such a big impact. We get these things out and actually symptoms do improve. When you're working with women who are struggling with that sort of hormone imbalance, what are some of those practical swaps that you would recommend help reduce exposure? Because I think, again, this is another area that can feel quite overwhelming for people. I know personally, I always sort of say, look, just, you know, one product at a time. As something finishes in your skincare, don't feel like you've got to go out and buy all new makeup and all new skincare. It's expensive to do that. But as something runs out, maybe just look for a better alternative. But what are some of the sort of practical swaps that you think people can make to help with that sort of toxin exposure picture around hormone health?
I actually made a whole reel on this. So maybe I'll send it over to you because it covers a lot of these things in it. But so my approach to this, going back to like, what are your staples that you're using every day? What do you use most of? Because it's going to be more beneficial. It's going to be a better strategy to replace the things that you are using most of. So if you're spraying all of your surfaces every day after dinner, or after you do your, you know, you're cleaning the kitchen after you've had dinner, that is something maybe you're doing twice a day, every single day. You're surrounded, like, you know, it's literally on your kitchen worktops. I think that's a really big one. I think deodorant is an absolutely huge one, especially for women, purely because of where you're actually putting the deodorant. It's like so close to your breasts and your lymph nodes. It's so important that you're not using a deodorant that has aluminium in there and toxins. So in terms of body care, I'd say deodorants and obviously skincare. And like you say, I say the same thing. When things run out, replace them. Things like the dishwasher tablets, because if you think about it, I think sometimes you just have to think, what am I being surrounded by? What is my, you know, like you're eating your food off a plate. If your plate is being washed with toxic dishwasher tablets, that is no good. That's quite a big thing. Every dish and every knife and fork is going to be washed by it. So I'd say that's a really good answer, though, to swap out. Perfumes and things like that are not ideal when they're loaded with toxins. But if you're only putting perfume on like once every, I don't know, some people don't wear perfume all the time. They might only wear perfume when they go out for dinner once every 2 weeks or something. I see that as less of an issue than the dishwasher tablets, the deodorant, the face cream that you're using. And also it's good to think about these things because it's like there are so many environmental toxins that we are exposed to every single day that we have no control over. So when you're commuting to work, you're on the tube, you're on the trains, we're walking down the road, we can't do anything about that because it's just, especially if you live in a city, you live in London, or so taking control of the things that you can make a difference in terms of like the products you're using inside your house, or not heating food in plastic, I think is an absolutely massive one. So those microplastics don't leach into your food and then you're essentially eating it. Black and Blum do the amazing ones actually, like steel containers, they're not heavy, no plastics in there at all. You can heat the food in it. Using room sprays as well, because I think that's just another one that you don't need to do that. You can use essential oils, you can open all the doors and the windows, like literally air your house out. You don't need to rely on these synthetic, toxic, loaded fragrances.
Do you have a preference on dishwasher tablets and deodorants? Yeah. Do you have any ones you like of those?
Yeah, Nicole, I feel like I literally tried so many different dishwasher tablets. Dishwasher tablets, because it's so hard to find. And that's the other thing, it's annoying when you spend all this money on buying something non-toxic and then it doesn't actually work. So that's the thing. That's why I make on the household products, I'll definitely send it to you. But my favorite ever dishwasher tablets are Kiki. It's a brand called Kiki, but I'll send it to you. I think it's Emma Bunton's brand and it's so good. Yeah, it's just so good. And the plates come out beautifully clean. I like Attitude detergent. There's an antibacterial spray, again, that I found in Ocado. It's an organic. I think it's like the only certified organic non-toxic spray on the market in the UK. I'll send it to you. It's really good. Deodorant wise, I love ACT, AKT, ACT. It's in like a tube. Even I've got my husband on to it and he absolutely loves it and it really worked. When it was like 35 degrees on the central line, we were both like, this is amazing. It actually works. And a tube lasts, you just need a tiny bit and a small bit goes a long way. And that's really good as well. Things in terms of skincare brands, I like Bycera. Really lovely brand, and Neil Jard is really good. But again, like I'm someone who is, I try to do my absolute best in terms of minimizing these endocrine disruptors, but I still love science-backed skincare, and that's important to me as well. So I'll use like I really like Medicate. I think Medicate SkinCeuticals is a few
things. I love Medicate.
From those brands that I love. And the thing is, I think what grinds my gears sometimes is that people sometimes focus so much on, oh, you can't use that. I'm going to put tallow on my skin instead of using one of these science-backed, really amazing products because it's got toxins in it. And it's like, actually, when you look, sometimes I think people don't look at things properly and they just kind of label things. But I think, actually, firstly, look at the amount of whatever is in there and actually, what is it doing for you? If you've got a skin issue, you're not going to fix your skin by using tallow on your skin if you've got some kind of like inflammatory condition where you need these specific hard-working actives to do their job properly. Obviously, I'm not a dermatologist or a skin expert, but what annoys me is that people focus so much on those things, but then they're maybe like vaping or maybe drinking loads of alcohol every weekend or binging on alcohol, eating loads of refined sugar. I think it's better for you to live, to do the things that you can do on a daily basis, the air in your house, like all of these things that you can make a difference, like not drinking water out of plastic, massive one. So many people still drink water out of plastic bottles. It actually blows my mind that people still do that. Our liver is supposed to detoxify and it's like our filtration system. There's a whole chapter in my book about the liver. Again, when you understand how it works and how you can do your part every single day in the basics, then you're not going to worry so much about a tiny little science-backed ingredient in your skincare
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really good advice. And we'll put the like the reel and those things that you've mentioned, we'll put them in the show notes below. Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. It's I've loved talking to you about all of this. But as a sort of final question for you, what would be, you know, your top 3-5 sort of practical steps that anybody who is struggling with hormone imbalance, you would sort of say to them, do these things first? I know we've touched on a couple of these, but just to kind of summarize quickly for people.
Carry out a mini life audit, which is literally as simple as doing like a 7 to 14 day food and symptom diary. So writing down in the notes on your phone or in the diary on your phone or physically writing down in pen and paper what you're eating and the symptoms. Importantly, the symptoms, it's not just about the food, it's how you're feeling afterwards. Your body will always give you signs and signals. And sometimes it's in the very, especially at the beginning, it's hard to hear what your body is trying to tell you. But when you have evidence every single day of what's coming up, very good way to gain clarity over like what's happening, to then like be able to be like, okay, these are the areas I'm going to work on, or I can then take this to a nutritionist. Number two, it would be add complete protein to every meal and every snack, because that's going to really support your blood sugar levels. Things like neurotransmitters, the amino acids is also important from the protein, but also don't disregard the fiber part of it as well. So like try to make half of your plate fiber and vegetables, lentils, legumes, whole grains. I actually posted a recipe this morning. It's a tomato soup and I put silken tofu in it to increase the protein content of it. Number three, take your sleep really seriously. If you can do one thing for if you can gift yourself something every single day, it would be to go to sleep earlier. And it's something that is so hard and I've struggled with for a really long time. But now I feel like... so hard, because I always think, oh, I could be working, I could do this extra thing, or I could reply to an email or something. And I think actually you have to, again, like create a boundary and be very strict with it. And it's very hard at first. Like I know, because I have had so many times where I've tried and completely failed. But now that I'm going to bed by 10 o'clock every single night. And it's, sometimes I'm like, this is so hard for me to do. But then I lie down and I close my eyes and I literally feel quite smug, because I'm like, I know that I'm going to feel amazing tomorrow. I wake up in the morning and I feel so recharged and amazing, energized and ready for my day. And I'm like, I'm a better wife, a better mum. I'm just like better all round. And so I think that if you can do one thing, do that, because you are going to, it's going to create a bigger space, a bigger window field to regenerate for hormone production, for everything. It's just the best, most underrated thing ever. My last one, tip number four, would be light. So just simply getting enough proper light in your day. And what I mean by that is in the morning, open all your blinds, your curtains, flood the room with light. Even if it's in the winter and it's actually dark, the level of light is still really helpful for your circadian rhythm, which is your internal body clock. It's really good for things like regulating your mood, your energy. Like you can get I've got a Lumi body clock that wakes me up and it replicates natural light. So in the winter, I really rely on that, because then I'm getting the light from there. I still open my curtains and step. My thing is to go and step out into my garden and literally just like feet on the grass. And like, even if it's not that light out, it really makes a difference. And I know it makes a difference because I've done it for such a long time now, when I compare to when I wasn't doing it. And also you just get that couple of minutes to just literally ground yourself. Even if you're a busy person, you're looking up, you can do like a minute. And then in the evening as well, easier in the summer to go for a walk in the evening. But even in the winter, or just to go for an early evening walk around the block, 10 minutes if you've got a dog. I think, yeah, light exposure, really important. You can get those FAD lights. I think that's a good investment for winter as well.
Brilliant. Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. I've really loved having this conversation with you. It's been great to run through everything hormone related. We'll link everything that we've discussed in the show notes below. We'll put a link to your book as well below. Just for the people listening, how can they sort of get in touch with you or follow along with you and what you're doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. It's been amazing. I feel like we could chat all day. There's so many grounds to go, but it's been such a good chat. You can find me on Instagram. So my handle is JessicaShand_, and my book, The Hormone Balance Handbook, is available Amazon, Waterstones, all of the main kind of like bookstores.
So today we've looked at how stress and the adrenals shape hormone balance, how energy and burnout are so often tied back to hormone signaling, how closely hormones and the immune system interact, especially in autoimmunity, and the often overlooked role of environmental toxins. And of course, we've shared some of our favorite supplements that can really help support hormone health on a daily basis. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate our 100th episode than with this conversation. Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. And to all of you listening, thank you for being part of this journey. Don't forget to enter our giveaway to win a free health check with me. The link is in the show notes below. And there's also the opportunity to win a gift card for supplements from W Wellness and to win a copy of Jess's book and my book. And of course, don't forget that everything that we've talked about today is available from W Wellness. That's w-wellness.co.uk. Just use my code Nicole20 for a discount. And here is to the next 100 episodes of the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.